God bless you, and thank God for the privilege of being on your show today, Brother Slay. And I love the title, The Gospel for the Glory of Jesus. KRAJ 100.9 FM here in the Antelope Valley. And that's from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. On today, and we thank the Lord for that. Father, we thank you for this privilege to be here. And I just ask you right now, in the Lord, if you would enlighten me and prep the ears of those who will hear, that they might understand and be encouraged today in the midst of a time when there's very little encouragement floating around for people. We thank you for it. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I got to reading the scripture last week in preparation for this message, and we were looking at several passages of scripture in the book of Jeremiah 33 and 3 and so forth. And my eyes caught here in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And that's where we'll speak from today. So let's just take a look at what that has to say. Let me just start off early on in this chapter. And it says, and this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, saving Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's what Paul says he really wants the church to know. Now, let me read down, starting with verse 9. "But as it is written, as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man, the thing which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. But what man knoweth the things of a man, saving the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." Now, listen to how Paul said this, "as it is written." Now, we recognize the fact that what he has done is quoted from the Old Testament. Let me give you a little quick run back there to Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 4. Watch how this reads now. Verse 4 says, "For since the beginning of the world," not word, but world, "since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him." Now, what he did here is put in the word "waiteth." This is how Isaiah put it. Paul put it this way, prepared for them that love him. So the word "wait" and the word "love" kind of entangle themselves with each other. Now, I want you to listen up as we kind of wrap all this around a little thought that the Lord gave me. It's bigger than that. That's our title for the day. It's bigger than that. Now notice how Paul said it. First of all, he said, it is written. So he went back to the Torah or to the Old Testament and got this. And then when he spoke it as I just read to you. Now, he had already established the church in Corinth. And they were all fired up when Paul established the church in Corinth. And then as soon as some other little whim come by, they began to drop off. And Paul really got upset with them and wrote 1 Corinthians. So when he said, when he wrote 1 Corinthians, he quoted from the Old Testament so that they would know where he's gotten it from. But as it is written, eyes have not seen. And remember the title. It's bigger than that. Bigger than the eyes have seen. Nor ears have heard. So if you've heard it, it's bigger than that. Neither has it entered into the heart of man. It's bigger than that. The things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, let's take a quick look. If you heard it, if you saw it, if you could think it, God's blessings are bigger than all of those. So you can't imagine it. You can't nobody tell you. Even the word that I'm sharing with you today, what God has in store for each of us individually is bigger than what Henry Hearns can tell you this morning. And it's further than that. It's bigger than anything that you can imagine. Because if you can imagine it, then what God has for you is bigger than that. Now, the church at Corinth really had a problem. Number one, I used to live in San Francisco, and that was many years ago when I first came to California back in 1959 when I came to California up in San Francisco. And they had down on Embarcadero what is called the longshoremen. This is import and export and loading ships and unloading ships and so forth. And those guys, is my understanding, is that they made more money than anybody else, particularly blue-collar workers. And In fact, I tried to get in there myself as a young man just getting out of college because I didn't seem to be able to get another job. But anyway, what I want to tell you is that Corinth was a port city. Many people came in and out that were going to Italy and other places in the world that they would stop off through Corinth. And so money was plentiful. And also, not only was money plentiful, immorality was plentiful. Because whenever we have money, brothers and sisters, most of the time when we got plenty of money, we don't talk to God very much. Only when we get in a tight, can't see our way out, that's when we really get disturbed. And we go to God, we believe in him at that time more than any other time in the world when we have a problem. So they didn't have a money problem because there was plenty of money floating around. Sexual immorality, you name it, they were doing it. And Paul wrote the church this hot letter and letting them know that, hey, listen, you can't follow off behind that. And the reason why you can't follow up behind that is already been written. Before the church was ever started, it was already written, the good things that God has already have in store for us. Now, when Isaiah wrote it, he says, since the beginning of the world, I have a problem trying to figure that out. I hope you heard me. I'm always trying to figure something out. I'm always trying to figure out how can God put together a plan for me before ever me showed up as me. But he did. And it's for anyone, the way Isaiah put it, anyone that wait for God. The way Paul put it, anyone who love him. There's no limit to what God has put up for us. Now, we know that he loved us so much that he sent Jesus. We understand that. We know he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son that you and I could have eternal life. And God knows, I know without a question in my mind, that it doesn't come any bigger than having eternal life. And if there was not eternal life, I would be really concerned about dying and death and all of the things that we go through as suffering. But since I know without a question in my mind that God has another thing for me, I don't have to worry about death no longer. Now let's take another look at Corinth. Coastal city, longshoremen, plenty of money, plenty of everything, sexual immorality, men and women getting together, men and men getting together, women and women getting together, you name it, it was going on. And many of the people of the church began to fall to that kind of thing. Now, we had many travelers coming through Corinth, and everybody, we had all kind of philosophers coming through Corinth, and they had all kind of testimonies about you didn't have to worry about this, you don't have to worry about that, and people were falling all over the place for that. And by the way, brothers and sisters, we ain't too far from that today. We have a lot of people who are listening to a lot of things. If it sounds good, do it, hook up with it, get going. Lots of religion were coming through Corinth at that time. And how about today? We got over 300 major denominations in our society today. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, as far as I am concerned, I've locked up with the Bible and I ain't about to come out of it. In fact, I'm preparing a message coming up soon to our church and saying, stay in the book, because the book is right. But what I want to have you to recognize here today is that you cannot follow everything that come by. You got to think this thing out for yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And he will help you. Believe you me, God will give you what you need. And a particular scripture that I like a lot is in John chapter 14, where he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me and my Father's house. You know that. If you go to church at all, you've heard that before. But listen what he says in verse 15 of John 14. Henry Hearns, if you love me, keep my commandment. Now watch the promise that he makes. And I will pray the Father. This is verse 16. John 14 and 16. And I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, who can imagine that? And the only way I can imagine that is by going to the Word of God. Because His Word is what it is that we need to trust in. Now, he goes on into verse 26 of chapter 14 of John and tells us who that is that he was talking about in verse 16. And that is the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm extremely blessed, satisfied, happy as I can be that God didn't give up on me, because I'm telling you the truth, I gave God a bad time. Different than a lot of people. There's a lot of men who drink and they run after their sisters and so forth. But that was not my big problem. My big problem was Is there really a God? Can't touch him, can't see him, can't feel him with your hands. And on I go. But thanks be to God, he brought me to reality. So I know without a doubt in my mind that God lived. I don't have no question in my mind. So please understand that if you can hear it, God's blessings are bigger than what you can hear. If you can see it, God's blessing is bigger than what you can see. If you can imagine it, God's blessing is bigger than you can imagine. And I didn't always believe that, but I now know without a doubt in my mind that God's love is bigger than anything I can imagine or think. Now, let me take you to the kind of close up this message. God knew without a question in my mind that we would sin when he created us. And no doubt in my mind he knew that. He knew that there would be those of us who would go to hell before we would believe in the power of God. He knew that. He knew that there would be those who would crucify him. He knew that. He continued to put it all on the line for us. That is in the person of his precious son, Jesus Christ, to pay for my past sins, my present sins, and any sins that I will commit in the future. I'm so thankful for that. I don't know what to do. I'm glad that God did not give up on me. In fact, let me tell you what he did for me. I may have shared this with you once before, but here it comes again. I never will forget it, getting on a boat in Oakland, California, back in 1953, on my way to Korea. And there were 7,000 troopers got on that boat in Oakland. And it took us just about a month to float in the boat to Yokohama, Japan. And I met a young white brother. And I had a checkerboard that I brought with me on the boat because I love playing checkers. And I was good at it, brothers and sisters. Believe me, I was good at it. It couldn't hardly beat me. And I can still play a little checkers today. But Bob got on the ship, and he walked up to me on the top of the ship up on the deck and said, "I see you got a checkerboard. You want to play checkers?" I says, "Yeah, I do. Been looking for somebody because I beat everybody." He said, "Well, let's try it out." I beat him 1 game, 2 game, 10 game, 50. Just every time he sit down to the board, I beat him. The next day, we played checkers again. The third day, we played checkers. Bob says to me, "Henry, do you know Jesus?" And guess what my answers were? "I go to church. Yeah, I go to church." Get that? "Yeah, I go to church." He said, "No, Henry, that's not what I'm talking about. Do you know him consistent with the Word of God?" I said, "Well, Bob," he said, can I share it with you?" And one of the very first scriptures, that was in 1953, so you're talking about over 60 years ago, and I still remember what Bob put in my heart. You know what he says? Mark 12:29, never can forget it. The first of all of the commandments is to hear, O Israel, the Lord as one Lord. And he is the only one. Then he took me to Hebrews 11:6. Then he took me to Romans 10:9-10. And I finally got the message of why Bob let me beat him over. He didn't let me beat him. I was just good at checkers. That's all it was to that. But I wasn't good at the Word. I love God. I love everybody I meet. But Bob led me to Jesus by the Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you today, don't allow church going to be considered being saved. Because you can go to church and go to hell through the church if you don't know Jesus. So I urge you, as we close this message, to let God in your heart, through the power of the blood of Jesus, let him be your Savior. He ain't going to knock you down to get in, but he stands at the door and knock. And so I tell you that being saved by the blood of Jesus is bigger than what you can imagine or think. Now, closing in this message, God is good. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege of sharing these few words from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, and verses 9 through 11. And I pray, Lord, that in the name of your Son, Jesus, that somebody will hear this message somewhere and get on a new road. That somebody will hear this word and recognize that no matter how bad things are and how hurt they are and what they're going through, that there's a blessing waiting for them. And it has nothing to do with their goodness. It has to do with the promise of God. God, I thank you and I ask your name to be blessed in us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and the Lord keep you in Jesus' name.